So we were just on a band group chat, and Kevin, our drummer, has an Android. The rest of us are iPhone. So if you like a message, it says Eric liked, and then it repeats the whole message.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So I used to get them all the time. So I just posted it. Is everyone good for tomorrow at 6 p.m.? And then Naf liked it, and Kevin said, I love it when Naf likes messages. So I liked Kevin's message. So I bet on his, it says Eric's liked what Kevin said. Welcome to episode 114. Do you know how many episodes we're on now into the third season, though?
No. Hold on. Is it 52 or 53 weeks?
52 per year.
Okay. So that's 104. So we're 10 episodes into the third
Boom.
Season.
Yeah, the reason I had to do math is because I'm now doing my taxes the day before the taxes are due. Mm. And I was adding up all the jobs I did this year that were not taxed. And I was like, well, what's 850 plus? It was some number like 850 plus 4,500. And I was like, that's 5,250. So write that down. And then I'm thinking, I was like, oh, wait a second. That's 5,350. So I literally, when I have to count, I use my fingers. I go thumb, pointer, middle. I like count and like have to do this. And if it gets over 10, I start over and have to keep track. But I need a visualization of numbers to count properly.
Why wouldn't you use a calculator?
Because I wanted to see, make my brain work. I'm like, I haven't been using this thing in a long time, my brain, that is, for counting. So I need to start getting my brain back in the idea of adding and subtracting at least.
And
forget
thought,
long division.
And you thought doing testing that, getting that muscle back while doing your taxes was the best. scenario for that.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not doing them yet. I was just writing it on paper to get the right numbers down. And what was hilarious about it is I was looking at my 2023 folders and I was like, wow, I didn't do a lot this year. And then I wasn't, for one moment, I was like, oh, well, wait a minute. It's still 2023. So I looked at my 2022 folders. I was like, oh, phew, I did do some work last year. It wasn't just me like sitting around doing nothing. So far I've made half the money I made last year total. So that means this year is going to be a good year coming up because there's more ahead.
Mm. Nice. Probably not.
Yeah. But do you want to tell me your social security number and all your tax info for this year? Like how much money did you make? How much is your house worth? How much is your payment? Social security, bank account numbers, any of that?
I would, but I already did my taxes. So I got it.
Oh, yeah. So you know those numbers.
Yeah. So I don't need to. You don't need to do that for me.
Okay. No, I wasn't going to do it for it. I just wanted everyone. I wanted everyone on the podcast to know where we're at financially. That's all.
I paid someone good, who has a calculator to do it.
Oh, you had someone else do your taxes.
Calculator. Yeah.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Every year.
Do you have more than a W-2?
No.
Oh man. Do you pay me? I'll do your taxes for you.
No, you don't use a calculator.
I will use a calculator on your taxes.
No.
If I do your taxes.
No.
The W-2s are like the easier ones to do. Okay. It's fine. It's nice to get it done right. You know you're not in trouble with the law. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Because I do TurboTax. Shout out to TurboTax. They charge me every year for the business one. Mm-hmm. Then I have to write off all these things like mileage and what I bought this year that could be applied to my video business so I don't have to pay taxes. And that is one way to do it. Not saying it's right for all. As you can see behind me, there's all these papers on the bed. And if I turn this way.
Yeah.
That's the box I keep everything in and I'd never organize it. And I lost a password. So I had to go through and take everything out. So that's what happens at tax time. It's just my room's a mess.
My psoriasis is back. Yay.
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 Is that the thing that the skin gets flaky on the elbows?
It can be anywhere on your body.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. That's so cool. I mean, my grandma had psoriasis. I know younger people that have it too. So is it something that comes and goes with stress? Like what would you equate it to?
I don't know. I think God gave me perfect hair. So he was like, to balance that out, let's give her mild psoriasis.
It's ruin her skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She works so hard. I mean, I I get it like on my hands or like the tops of my feet. Every once in a while,
is it just it's flaky?
It's the like I wouldn't describe it so much as flaky. It's like it's like a raised portion of my skin with just like skin cell growth.
Okay. So it's just a little not bubbly, but just up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's red, looks inflamed probably a little bit.
No. Well, depending on probably skin tone, mine's not red.
And if I Google it, it's psoriasis is a P at the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm. P-S-O-R-I-A. Hold on.
S-I-S. Cis at the end. Well, here's the problem with looking things up online is that they show you worst case scenarios in images and like...
Put in mild.
Okay, yeah. Mild. Yeah, yours is mild. There are some ones that look like someone just took like... Cool Whip and smeared it onto like a wound and it's all white and huge or very like red across the chest. So when I was looking up tomorrow, I go in for my ghost tooth install where they put in that bone grafting. And when I looked up like some of the things relating to this, you get the worst imagery that just freaks you out.
I don't think you've talked on the podcast about your ghost tooth. I know what you're talking about. I don't think the listeners know.
I think we did once, but I know that every episode you usually forget right after we do it. So we could have. So what happens as you get older So what happens as you get older or you just don't floss for years? Hey, kids, I don't floss and I'm using a dollyism because she says, hey, kids, sometimes. So if you don't floss for years and you let things build up, you get gap, the bone mass in your jaw disappears in between your teeth, so you get deeper gaps or deeper pockets. So they use a tool and they test the deepness of the pockets, and if you have over a 5, you have some like infection or bone loss. And I had a couple 6s and 7s and a 9 in the back. Also, my gums are high in the back and the teeth are shallow, so it's hard to tell if there's a problem at 41. But they told me I had a problem and I needed to fix the back teeth on all sides. So what's going to happen at 8 a.m. tomorrow, the day after this comes out, is I go in and they numb up the gums with some needles. Yay. I love needles. Mm-hmm. They're going to check my blood pressure. It's going to be sky high because I'm nervous about it already. And so hopefully they do the operation. Then they separate the gums from the teeth and scoot them out. Which I'm like, you're cutting the gums and physically moving them out to get to the base of the teeth, which is scary already. And let's just say the doctor had like a medical condition in the middle of the surgery and you're sitting there with a gaping mouth because no one else here does this stuff. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. The guy's younger. But thinking worst case scenarios, just in case I got to go home with an open mouth. And then they scrape off any plaque and clean up the teeth, and then they fill in with this bone grafting, which comes from cadavers. Yay. You don't know how many. Get a lot of people in my mouth. It sounds terrible to say that. There's been a lot of people. There's a lot of people in my mouth now.
Possibly at a minimum one.
It's like I equate it to a burger because most burger places say there's thousands of cows in every burger you eat because it's from a factory.
Yeah, also, I watched a video of like big chain burger places and how their meat is prepared. Insane, dude.
Yeah.
Insane.
It doesn't make you want to eat there, does it?
No. But you know, when hunger strikes, I'll take anything down.
Just like that song, Hunger Strike by Temple of the Dog. Such a good song. Chris Cornell. You know.
The 90s.
You know that.
Yeah, sure do.
It's before Pearl Jam started. It's Chris Cornell and Eddie Vedder singing with the guys from Pearl Jam.
Had you let me talk, I would have told you all those details too. So, okay.
Who was the drummer of Mother Love Bone?
Mother.
Yeah, see, I knew it. Okay. It was Barrett Martin.
What is that? Mother Love Bone? Band? Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was they were huge. They were big before Pearl Jam or Soundgarden started. They were like the start of the kind of the grunge, end of glam rock in Seattle, grunge a bit too.
Okay.
So, And then he died of an overdose, and the members of that band became Pearl Jam and
Soundgarden. He was too. Yeah. The lead singer was blonde, correct?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. Like, yeah, long hair. Yeah.
Yeah, and he passed away in his 20s. So.
Yeah, I forgot what I was watching, like some rock documentary, and they followed that for a bit.
It's a Andy. Why am I spacing right now? I know his. So his ex girlfriend is friends with some of who was in that scene. Is friends with a few of my friends. So I've met her a few times and stuff. But nice. All those musicians, just knowing people that are in their 50s and 60s in the Seattle scene now, hanging out in with the drummer of Mother Love Bone in my friend's apartment, listening to surround sound mixes on Capitol Hill and stuff. And I was like, this is crazy. I'm filming these guys that are like huge, but yet so down to earth. And they're maybe not, I don't know how millionaire-esque they are now, but like just normal guys, really cool. But yeah, there's so many songs written. The whole Temple of the Dog album was honoring him. Say Hello to Heaven was a song about him. Hunger Strike was something else. That was their other hit on there. And then Far Behind by the band Candlebox, which we got to meet them and do some shows with those guys. That was about them too, or about him too. Andy Mother Love Bone. Oh, Andy Wood. Duh. Mm. He like would wear top hats and cool glasses. He was just like the quintessential like rock star. He was hanging out here with Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam and a bunch of stuff. So all these guys ran in the same circles at the time, early 90s.
Nice.
So that we got there because we were talking about teeth.
Teeth, and teeth.
Psoriasis. And probably, and then one of the guys from Pearl Jam has Crohn's disease. So he does awareness for that in his concerts and raises money. So I think it's cool when, like you said, God blesses you with these cool things that you can raise awareness to them and hopefully help other people.
Yeah, just go see a doctor.
Or do that, you know, but what they're doing is they're using the platform they have. You know, not all of us can get like hundreds of thousands of people out to our shows to talk about the things we have, like Crohn's disease. So that that makes it a little more challenging for us. But yeah, we're trying to stay healthy. We're getting older. We were talking earlier today for a minute about all the things you got to do. We have to do now that we get older to like stay feeling good on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. So after they separate your gums from your teeth, then they put this.
After they separate the gums from your teeth, they clean. Then the we talked about cadavers. That's how we got to like dead people from the 90s. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's cadaver bones that they like cleanse, purify, whatever. So and then they put that mesh on your bones and seal the gums again, and then that grafts with your bones, and within 3 to 6 months the gaps start to fill up as the bone refills and grows back in.
It helps promote new bone growth. Nice.
Yeah. And I put $4,500 on my HSA card on it today. Tomorrow will be $4,300 to pay the rest. Oh wait, no. 44 again. I don't know what it was. I think I did 45. It's $8,800 my cost, which is just
maybe let's put the math insane. Down. Let's just put the math down for the rest of the episode. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, no more adding up numbers. Yeah. I'm just saying how expensive it is. I know that getting fake teeth and getting dentures is way more even than that. Mm-hmm. My dad's was like, this is the last math thing I'm going to say of the day, but his was $15,000 to get like implants so he could put the dentures onto him because all of his teeth were like rotted out and had to get replaced. And to see someone go from like a mouthful of teeth that are bad, which is not good anyway, but to like having none is a little tough. So I don't want to be in that same boat and have to go like, and now I have no teeth in my mouth and I had a full set of teeth that felt normal. Mm-hmm. So I think this will be bridging that gap and not having, no pun intended, intended there's a gap there, but building it up so I don't have to lose my teeth later is the goal with this one.
Yeah. Good luck. I think it's going to be great.
And then from here on out, the thing to do, like if we're talking about care, like people that are listening that might think, oh, maybe I should care for my teeth, just get a water pick or floss more often and brush every day, 2 times a day, like morning and night, which I'm doing now. And the water pick is awesome because it just sprays water in between the gums, and it is actually super easy and quick and fun. So yeah. I'm doing that, and I'm like, I can do this forever. I'll do this all day till my gums bleed. Just keep going.
I have one. I just don't, you know, when like, you like. I just don't like that the tank isn't big enough for what the water that I have to refill it 3-4 times.
Oh, well, it's not one of those big ones, because a lot of them have a little like it's like reserve. A bowl that sits on the water reserve that sits on the counter. Mm-hmm. Mine says it's good for 30 seconds. I don't find the need to take 2 to 3 minutes to go through. I just like and then go back around. And then I sometimes forget that there's water going and open my mouth and it sprays out onto the mirror, which is fun.
Yeah.
But that's just part of it.
So I have something to say.
Okay, good. See, this is what I was hoping. I wanted to hear your health tips for your mouth.
No, or this anything. This is not at all about my mouth. It's about my ears. So
okay,
great. I have ear time. I have ear piercings. I have 5 piercings on one side, 3 on the other. And I had them kind of all pierced at the same time, except for bottom piercings on either ear, because I'm Mexican and my family had my ears pierced when I was like a week old. So
is that legal?
I don't. Hey, what are you going to do? Arrest? Oh. Every
yeah, arrest people years later. There's been a 20-year statute of limitation. You're good.
Yeah.
Or they're good.
So when I got the rest of the piercings done, the type of piercing that they are like posts. So it's a 2-piece. So a post goes into the hole, and then the earring sits inside of, I hate this word, the shaft of that pole.
Oh, it's fine.
And then it like clamps in, like it gets seated tight into the post. And so just because of like natural swelling that happens, they tend to put bigger posts at first so that if it does swell, it doesn't like get infected or like hurt your ears, all of that. So with time, you're supposed to like go back and then have the posts swapped out for shorter and shorter posts. And because of the pandemic, so I did this way before the pandemic, but wasn't able to go back in to have the posts swapped for like the third time, I think. So
you just kept wearing the big ones?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like really annoying. They'd always move. My hair would get caught in them and all this stuff. So
yeah.
I went back, finally got them swapped, but they were like, oh, we have this new type of posts. Is that okay? I was like, yeah, fine, whatever. So they did it. And then I lost an earring one day. And I was like, well, where did this go? I found the earring in the bathroom, in the shower. And I was like, okay, no big deal. I'll go back in. They'll put a new backing and we'll be fine. And then the same thing happened to a different piercing. And so I went back, got it swapped, and it was fine. But then, same thing happened again with the same one. It fell out. I went back, they replaced it, but then the post that they replaced it with wasn't clamping correct, and I've just been busy. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I don't have time to like go in and get it changed or whatever. And I kept
just be
all
careful
the,
when you move.
Yeah. And I kept all the extra posts. So 2 days ago, I was like, oh, it's kind of bothering me because the post that I got was kind of small and it was still like irritating my ear a little bit. I was like, oh, I'll just swap out the post myself and it'll be fine. I take out the earring and it gets caught on my hair and I try to move it and it falls into the sink, the earring. And I'm like, no. And
disappears, like goes down the sink.
Into the sink. And I'm like, dang it. So I've never done plumbing before. So I call my mom and I'm like, hey, how do I like remove
this? Undo that pipe.
Yeah. I was like, do I need to shut off the main water? Like, how does this work? And she was like, no, you'll be fine. And then so I did it. It wasn't.
Just don't keep the water running as you do it.
Right. And so the way the piping under my sink works is there's a tube coming from the bottom of the sink and then it there's like a twist section because the yeah. next part is like a elbow, right? It looks like a U, and then it
yeah
goes
a little
into,
U, and then yeah. it goes up. Yep.
And so I remove those two clamps, and I don't see the earring in there. Like I have a bucket underneath the sink, water flushes out, and there's yeah. There's no earring in there. I was like, oh, it must be trapped
it went further.
In the. No. I was like, oh, it must be trapped in the because my sink has like a stopper, and it's oh. locked into like a little thing where like you have to.
You can't just lift it.
Yeah, and so I remove oh, that. I take out the plug, and it pops out. And I was like, yes. So I take it out, put it on the sink, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put the sink back together. I put it back together, and it's like in a weird position where I move my hand to like get like more stability to like tighten this one part. Mm-hmm. And I put my hand exactly where I had left the earring,
and you
it
push
like
it, back in.
It ricochets off my finger, hits something metal. Mind you, my eyesight, like my eye line, is underneath the sink. So I'm putting my hand.
You can only hear sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, oh no, this earring. And I look up and I try to find it. And I was like, oh, I can't see it. I was like, oh, maybe it went down the sink again. And so I undo, I undo it all again. No earring. And I'm like, oh, it has to be somewhere like in the bathroom. And I get on my hands and knees and look everywhere in the bathroom. Couldn't find it.
Crawl across the floor.
Yeah, couldn't find it. I turn off the light to, and then use a flashlight on my phone to be like, oh, maybe it'll catch like the metal that's on the earring itself. And yep. nothing. Couldn't find it. And I looked in the hallway because I was like, oh, maybe it like went
rolled
underneath.
All the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still couldn't find it. And I still haven't found it. And I'm mad.
And Sam, you might end up just eating it. It's on the floor sometimes. She's like,
yeah.
Just.
But I was like, what? What bad luck.
Whenever I'm like doing something and then I drop something on my hands and or a pick, I'm playing guitar, mm-hmm. I drop it and it rolls an ungodly amount away behind something or like drops underneath a cabinet and I have to get down. Usually my hands are full with something like I'm carrying mm-hmm. groceries or something. I drop something and then it just disappears under something and you got to go and reach. Like this happens. So I have a area where there's like toothbrush, toothpaste, all this stuff, mm-hmm. but it's on a rack with shoes below it in a bathroom. So like I've set stuff down just clumsily or bump something and then something falls way underneath. Then you got to reach way back underneath to all this like cat hair and whatever else is like gathered because the cat comes in and gets way under there. And then I'm just pulling dust out trying mm-hmm. to get to one little thing and I'm brushing my teeth or your hands are wet because you're washing your hands and now you got to do all that. So it's always like, of course it's going to roll the furthest away the one moment you're not looking.
Yeah.
And you just got it out and took all the time mm-hmm. to do that.
And then lost it. And now I'm like, now I have no idea where it is.
And you have the post still?
No, I lost the post. Oh, no. I do have the post. But I mean, like, that doesn't matter. The earring's more expensive than the post itself.
Yeah. But you're not. But if you don't keep something in there, it'll seal up.
I know. So I need I want to go in this week. I really doubt that they'll have identical earrings. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. And also the like hole itself is a little swollen. I think because I took out it just gets aggravated over and over again. Like the more you play with the piercing, the more it.
Yeah. I thought for some reason your story was going to go to like infection and piercings because that's what my wife at the mm-hmm. time, my wife had, and I just found a temporary restraining order in my paperwork, which was not a restraining order, but they word it like that because it was like the divorce paperwork, sure. temporarily restraining like people taking other people's stuff during the process.
Yeah.
But I saw it. I was like, we had a restraining order issued and I was reading it and I'm like, no way. There's not. Did she do this? And I just have this paperwork here. I was like, no, there was no restraining order, but
yeah.
they just word it like that when you're going through it. But she would have like ear piercings that would get infected and she'd have to put like Epsom salt or other kind of salt washes and stuff. And it's like, it's actually pretty gross. And
yeah.
she was someone that liked pimple popping. Like there's that Dr. Pimple Popper show.
Yeah.
So anytime there'd be something like, let me get it.
Like extractions.
And liking the fact. People love that stuff. Yeah. So like, I remember there's some weird kind of fluids that come out of like piercing infection. That's kind of gross.
Yeah.
But honestly, the body's gross. We're all great.
We're disgusting.
So yeah. You just have to, I'm okay with life's grossness. I'm embracing it. And I'm like, you know, you can say gross or be like, this is what it is. And mm-hmm. then you just get past that part.
Yeah. Yeah. I also, it's really gross. No one talks about this. Have you ever smelled the back of an earring or like someone's piercing? It's disgusting. Every once
that
in a while.
That was part of the infection stuff. Yeah. It's and because well, no. That's part of it. It smells terrible.
I mean, yes, but they're not mutually exclusive. Like anyone with a piercing, you just rub the piercing, smell your fingers. It's disgusting. Okay.
Is it, what does it smell like? What could you equate it to? Irony? Is it bloody? Or is it like, is it just like rot, mold, or
it's this is so gross. It's like sweat. And
you're doing it now. You're doing it now.
It's like sweat and like a little twang, like a little like BO.
But it's like the body's like, hey, this is a spot of a bad spot, if you will.
Like this example that I'm gonna give is so unique.
Is it gross?
I don't think
unique.
That anybody. It's relatable, but I don't think many people do this. It's as if you'd stuck your finger in your belly button after you worked out. After like a long workout.
Gotcha. That has to be similar to the little bump on the back of my neck that's been there since like college.
Okay.
And it's like I had my uncle check it out, who's a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Smells fine right now. I had my uncle check it out after. I was like, is this something I have to be concerned about? I was like, no, this isn't cancerous or anything. You're good. It's literally just like a small little bump that's maybe slightly discolored. It's tiny.
Yeah.
It's like a little raise of skin sitting on the back right side of my neck. And occasionally, I think it comes down to diet and how you've been living. I feel really good right now. Like, I think I've been eating better, fresh stuff, smoothies and everything. But if I've had like a week of fast food and other stuff, and occasionally I'll be like driving and I like, you just scratch for a second, you go to smell it, and it's that terrible twang smell. I'm just like, whew. And it's so bad. It's so bad that you try again. And it's like kind of an addicting thing to smell it, but it also smells awful.
That Mark Twain.
And so, that Mark Twain smell. So it's a mark on my neck and it's a twang. So it's my Mark. It's my Mark Twain.
It's your Mark Twain. Yeah.
That's the name of this episode. That Mark Twain. but it smells fine. I don't smell anything now, but occasionally it'd be like, oh, and then you're driving. And then I'm like, oh my goodness. If I'm like interacting with someone and they smell my finger after this, or like they're near my finger, it's going to smell terrible. But it's kind of enthralling at the same time. Something that's so bad, but not like,
ew.
It's not quite BO. The twang is the best description. It's not BO. It's not a fart smell. It's not that. It's literally just like
it's like moldy. Sweat and dirt that turned.
Your body's getting rid of something at that spot. So I have a natural chimney on the back of my neck, and it just occasionally lets out the bad stuff. And I don't smell. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't smell. It's only if you were to touch it that it would smell bad, which it's so gross. But skin tags, all these things, they're all gross, but they're all like, everyone has them. So
just an edit to the title of this episode. I think you said the Mark Twang on the back of my neck. That's what you need to name this episode.
The twang. No, the I Mark, said it's
the Mark Twang
that
on the back
Mark
of my
twang.
Neck. Yeah.
I don't think I said it, but now that you said it, we can use it.
I think
that Mark Twang on the back of my neck. Okay. Yeah. Now I've said it. Now I just said it after you said it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's awesome. But yeah, since we talked about skin tags and my phone's on an airplane mode, I am going to get ads for removing skin tags. So that's fun. And my brother had one until when I was visiting them in Australia. He had one that had developed above his eye, one of his eyes, and it actually like pushed the eyelid slightly closed. And then he got back here and it magically like got rid of itself and popped. So I was going to visit for alumni weekend and play basketball. I did not do that because I realized how insane it was to drive down in one day and come back and then work the next morning. I was like, no way. Am I doing that? And then I talked to him and he's like, well, he's like, I'm a bit under the weather. I'd probably wear a mask there and just go say hi to people, but wouldn't play. He was like, if you were coming down, I was going to soldier through it. But he also said, he's like, and the thing on my eye just popped, so my eye looks a little weird.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, so now his eyelid will be great now. But then he's like, you got it. When he was there and he was talking about his, he's like, yeah, you got a couple too on your face. I was like, I do. And I looked and there's like a tiny little bump, like right in here, one on an eyelid, but it's so small. But his was like growing and had gotten bigger. So his wasn't great, but.
Are you sure it's a skin tag and not like a sty or like a little abscess?
Oh, that's probably what it is. Probably. Yeah. It's probably that. It's not a, there's so many different names for these things, but it's all these things are so small. It's like no face is perfect.
Yeah.
And you got to embrace all the imperfections in life just to enjoy it, I think. Otherwise you're going to get worried about any little thing that happens and be like, I got to go see that doctor.
Yeah.
Get rid of that psoriasis. Psoriasis. Yeah. So what do you do for those out there that might have some skin things? What do you do? What's the best way to get rid of that psoriasis?
Psoriasis. I don't really do anything to it. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't.
Like online, how do you get rid of psoriasis? I don't know if you do.
Well, it's I'm lucky that I live here with psoriasis because it's it's not extreme heat all the time, you know, and like
what gets it inflamed?
Yeah, like the less moisture that you have on it, I think it gets irritated. I think
so. So dry climate might be fine, but then you got the heat to deal with, so summer's not the best, but
yeah,
there's articles on like this is the only thing that gets rid of it or causes of it, and it's like this isn't gonna make you feel good.
I live there.
Although you've had it your whole life, it's commonly associated with several other conditions including type 2 diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, heart disease, psoriatic arthritis, anxiety, and depression. And it's those are all not good things. That's fun. But
yeah.
So who's to say what's what?
Yeah. So listeners, go ahead and send us an email on what you think I have, and first person to get it right wins.
I'm going to say anxiety because I know you do have it. So it's probably just the anxiety.
A little depression mode too, you know?
Depeche Mode. Yeah. That would be a Depeche Mode cover band. That's just doing sadder versions of their songs. Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
It's real good. Yeah. So there's another thing that people get a shot for when they're in there. They say if you're over 50, you should get the shingles shot.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a picture of a guy with psoriasis on his face on that article. And it would look like what happens with shingles. And I know a guy that we worked with at a mattress factory in Marysville here years ago. And I saw him and he was saying he still had scars on his face. But some people just get it on their arms or legs, chest or wherever.
Yeah.
But he got it his whole face.
Wow.
And there's nothing you can do if you get it. So that's when it's very painful. And I was like, yeah, maybe that shingle shot is the way to go.
No, you should do it. 50. My dad got shingles maybe like the last 3 years of his life, 3-5 years of his life. Yeah.
Wow.
It was on his legs. It was terrible.
And it just hurts and stuff. Yeah.
Like bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you can hide, if you can hide it, great. But on the face, not much you can do. And then it left like scars. And I think once you get it, you're good. It's like, and they say that was it. It's linked to chicken pox too. If you've gotten chicken pox, you're more likely to get shingles.
Yeah.
Maybe it is the same. Yeah. And I was like, well, great. I thought everyone wanted to get chicken pox when they're younger, but I was like, maybe avoiding it would have been the smart choice.
No, it gets worse if you're older.
I've heard that if you get it when you're older, if you just skip it altogether, that's the best way if you can pull that off.
No, sure. Okay.
Right? Like if you never get it, that's going to be the best. It's like cancer. If you never get cancer, it's probably the best. But if you were to get it,
but there's a very low probability that you wouldn't get anything.
Yeah. It's like COVID. Almost everyone got it. And there's a couple of people that still are like crossing their fingers that I know. And they're like, I never got it. We'll see. They're just like praying that they don't get it. It's been like 4 years. Haven't got it yet. And it's like, those are bold words.
Yeah.
Cause then you're going to be the next call I hear being like, hey, so, happens to be that I can't go out for 10 days or whatever. And I know earlier you said the pandemic, I like to call it the lockdown because I felt like locked down and trapped. But then it was still both things. So there's no wrong or right. It's like just differences of ways of saying it. But the more that time goes on in this last few weeks, I've been thinking about this a lot. I think the things that are the most important are love, compassion, and acceptance of differences. Because so many people feel true. So many different things are their truth. And I'm like, you know, what does it matter if I think something's true and someone else thinks something else is true? Does that mean I can't spend any time with that person or I can't like hear a different opinion? Like I know we're getting more and more used to like echo chamber scenarios because of social media giving us exactly what we want. But like, wouldn't it be kind of boring if everyone was like the same and believe the exact same and had the same opinions and nothing to discuss? So like, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
I wasn't sure if that was a question or.
It was. I said, wouldn't it be, I said, wouldn't it be kind of boring if everything was identical? Everyone's like, I believe the same thing. I have the same political, religious, lifestyle views. Everyone was identical. That's like, there's nothing. There's no like discussions to have. There's no like thoughts that expand people's minds because everyone's just like, this has been given to us as truth from, let's say, the government or from this religion that says this is all this way. And everyone's like, uh-huh. There's a universal belief that everyone believes the same thing. Wouldn't there be like a little duller world around us?
What I get from what you just said almost poses it in a way that there is no misuse of power or misuse of, that there is no intention of causing harm.
Malice,
to
maybe.
People. Yeah.
Oh.
And so
right,
it
right.
would be nice if we could all coexist and things were lovely in, you know, everything was brightly colored, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah. Like differences of opinions, not being, and ending someone else's. I'm not saying things. Yeah, let me categorize it as I'm not saying things that cause other people harm being okay.
Yeah.
I'm saying like one person believes that tree is red. Someone else believes it's green. And they're like, no, it's absolutely this color. That's just a bad analogy. But it's just something like just because someone has a different opinion, people write them off now because they're like, well, that's ignorant or this or that. And they're like, well, I don't feel like this is wrong. I'm trying to like be supportive of people too. I just have a different view of it, maybe.
Sure. I don't align to that with all things.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be very specific.
Sure. Yeah. I guess it's a very, very general statement. I'm just realizing there's, as time goes on, I'm like, there's, and seeing how divided everyone is just by like, there's people with different political views that will like, sever that contact with their family because they feel they just like to support different candidates or whatever else. For they might have their reasons why they're like, well, I like that they do this or I don't like that they do this. And I'm not really into politics, but I just see it like happen a lot. And so then I'm like, man, to like disown your sister or like people disown like an uncle at a Thanksgiving, they're like, I'm never talking to them again because they said they like this person. And I was like, no one, they're never going to meet these people in their life, but they just have a different view on something. So I guess I'm not saying everyone needs to be very accepting of everyone, but I think that's what I'm going to do from here on out. Mm. I don't care if someone's like into socialism or into whatever they're into. Are they good to other people? Are they doing things that are causing harm? Not good. If they're not causing harm, they can have any view they want. I'm going to try to be not judgmental towards them, I guess.
Yeah.
for me. And I'm not saying everyone, not, that's not something for everyone. I mean, the first thing I ran into that with was when I was going to get married, and then my wife was more agnostic and I was Christian. And then we had like one night, I had like a serious discussion about it, because it was like, hey, you know, we're going into this like lifelong commitment thing, right? So how do you feel? Like, she was like, it just makes me sad to think that you couldn't accept me the way I am. And I was like, yeah, that is really small. I was like, because at first I'm like, well, I mean, I want you to believe in this. And then I was like, oh, that is kind of small of me to like be like, you have to fit into my box to be a valid person. Just for a different, so I mean, I guess I'm more talking, this is spiritual beliefs. So I was like, you know, I accept you fully as you are. And it took me a minute. And I was like, yeah, that is weird. And I do accept you fully as you are. You don't have to. It was a nice moment of being like, I don't, if you never change and you want to be this way, I fully accept you as you are. And that's kind of where the conversation ended up. But it took me getting out of like the preconceived notions I grew up with in the religious background of Adventist to be like, well, if they're not Adventist or they're not Christian, then you stay away because they're no good, or whatever else I was fed when I was younger. And you have to honestly not care too much about like everyone being the same to get to that spot, I think. When taking a minute and looking at the world now, and like, it's not the world it was 15 or 20 years ago. It seems more divided and more angry, and people are like willing to like have violence, act violently towards other people that don't believe the same as them. And I'm like, that's never okay.
Yeah.
And there's always been wars and different stuff, but I just feel like there's been like, you know, people have been in this water that's been warming up and it's coming to like a boiling point, and people are like freaking out and doing crazy things. And I'm like, makes me want to, kind of remove myself from society a little and be out in the country and away from some of the craziness on some level. Hmm. What are some ways of making life better for everyone by people acting better towards each other, I guess, is really, it's more like just trying to think of ways that could improve daily life around us if each person started doing some of these positive things more, instead of like tearing apart and separating people.
Sure. I think it requires a person that is open to doing all of that. It's,
yeah.
I've kind of lost my, like the last few years, I've realized that like sometimes there comes a time when you have to just let or stop investing in people, or mm-hmm. like trying to, or I guess I found myself making excuses for people, of being like, oh, well, they just need time.
Yeah.
Like clearly they just don't have enough exposure, or, you know, they haven't seen a lot of care or love, in their life. So
yeah,
this is right. Why, you know, I would understand that. But I think it takes a person that is open to being a part of a community that wants to lead with love or care, mm-hmm. has yeah. trust in other people, because I don't think grand or like giant blanketed efforts really do much. Like I think there's a lot of like excitement or like
they build up hype with it to get people excited in the moment and be like, yeah, we're going to go do this. Cause that's this big convention for whatever.
Yeah. Or like, the analogy I have in my head is like a sugar rush. Like
yeah.
you reach this really high peak and then you're going to crash, and there's no and then, like then stability you don't continue to it
on that yeah. path.
And yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking yeah. of like the Tony Robbins weekends that people go to. They're like $5,000 and they're so hyped up. And like there's a percentage of people that act on those things and try to make changes in their lives. And the experience is obviously great. It's like a concert. You just get a rush. Like, this is amazing. I'm going to go. You leave a concert. I'm like, I'm going to go write an album. I'm going to go do this. And then the reality is a lot of percentage of people don't follow through for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not something that it's a blanket statement that I would love to see the world like that. And I don't think it can be possible on a grand scale because there's too many variables. But it's something to think about, I think, in our personal lives more, because that's the influence, sphere of influence. That's the sphere of influence that everybody has, is like, who do you see weekly or monthly or yearly and that kind of thing. If more people are thinking about that, maybe that will make a difference someday.
I get cautious around people. Well, certain, I'll just be honest, like certain political aspects or people that support a certain party, or leaders mm-hmm. within that party, because it just feels like it's enabling this conduct that hurts a lot of people, whether sure. or not
yeah.
the like, let's say the topic of racism. Mm-hmm. Like, I know plenty of people who aren't racist, but support leaders that by policy, by things that they've passed, do just mm-hmm. that. So it's yeah. very hard for me to understand or to accept why someone would support a candidate for reasons that they don't agree with. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And people have said like, oh, I got to choose a lesser evil. And they've decided in their mind that this candidate versus this one is the lesser of the two evils in whatever way
yeah.
it comes across. And I just think they're all corrupt, all the politicians. So I just don't, I'm like, I'm just going to vote like literally on a person. I'm going to look at this list of people, look up all these people before I vote. Yeah. And I like try to figure out like, is this, and they're like, well, that's not even a major candidate that's running. And I was like, well, my conscience is going to feel good after I do this, because I know that this would be someone who would be a good person across yeah. the board, you know. And people dig up dirt on all the candidates from the past. The last two were both rough in different ways. And the last few years have just been really like split, and people getting really angry on all sides. Then you say something to be like, oh, can you believe this? Like the impeachment stuff. I remember talking to someone we worked with and be like, oh, it's happening. And he was like, so upset about that it was happening. I was like, yeah, I should probably, you know, you never know. And then
yeah.
People will find history on the opposite candidate too, which happened in the last one too, where back in the day they were voting on some racist policies in pro division of races. And then they're like, how can anyone support that person? You're like, you know, it's mm-hmm. just such a wash. It's so hard to like navigate that stuff, I think.
Yeah. Too. And like to what you said a little bit ago about corruptness, like I feel like there is, I mean, the nation is split primarily into two, you know,
they have two, Democrat, two types Republican of parties. Mostly. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think from both sides, there is this like fond memory that both parties have of like, you know, politics aren't the same like it was back then, or like this, like romanticized, like making diplomatic. It seem better
than it was.
Yeah. Like if everything mm-hmm. was kept to book, like no one did anything shady, but it's like time and time right. again, we see that it's always kind of been the same. There was shadiness
throughout all of it.
Yeah. Like it perhaps has. People had better manners publicly. Yes.
That was what it was. Better manners.
Yeah. yeah. And now it's just, I mean, the, what was the one recently? The address, do you know what I'm talking about, where everyone was in the presidential, oh gosh,
it was actually like where they're like answering questions in front of people kind of thing, like conference or I don't know the right word, I'm missing the right word I forget to say right now,
yeah, it's saying. Like a very
state of the union,
thank you.
The newest one,
yes,
which I actually really I really will listen on the radio, actually. And people are like, you listen to what? And I was like, yeah, it was on the radio. I want to hear what he has to say. And I actually thought it was really good.
Political leaders, and many of them, did not have a decorum to their attendance. people were shouting, disgusting things were said. And
oh, after he said what he said.
Yeah. And it's just like, in what world do you think that's okay? Like, how?
I know. Like just so disrespectful. Human decency.
Yeah. Of like, whether or not, okay, you claim to be, you know, this political leader that you hold the Constitution and the U.S. very highly in your being. It's like, you don't even have respect for, like, you may not, you can totally disagree with the people in charge. You can make your opinion known, but it's like, you shouldn't blatantly disrespect someone.
A leader of any kind. Yeah. They're like, well, why? Like, calling them an idiot almost in front of everyone when they're, I didn't hear any of the recourse after I heard his speech. And then it went back to the news, people talking about it and saying some of the reactions from people. And the thing I find time and time again, which just makes me think it's all a circus in the sense of how people act towards other people, is that if you take your everyday average person who's, let's say they have a Democrat and a Republican, and they're like, if they were Christians, they'd be the most devout Christian, but this is their religion, let's just say.
Sure.
Democrat and Republican. If the opposite party is in power, and this is a stereotype, so I'm saying this because I've seen it a lot, and I'm saying, like, I'm clarifying it's not everyone, but that the like, my dad was hardcore Republican. If a Democrat was in power, they could do nothing good.
Yeah.
He told me Obama did nothing good. And I was like, that's humanly impossible for someone to do nothing good. Yeah. I was like trying to like get some sense into the conversation. And I'm like, people would be like, yeah, he's right on. And then if their person's in, they're like, oh, they're the best. Yeah. No matter what they've done, they're the best. But if the other party's in power, it's pure evil or just terrible no matter what. And I'm like, man, I've seen both you guys, and if the other person's in power, I hear complaints from the other side. It's like so dumb to me at the same time, because like, if you just look at what the person's doing, there's probably a lot of good on both sides, but people have trouble seeing it because of their blinders that they have on.
Yeah, it's as if the objection is to win instead of being the voice of the people you're represented or you're elected to represent.
Yeah.
Where like that instantly goes out the door. And now you just have to say, you have to pass things that will continue to keep you in your seat or have your party be the majority of.
And that's why people, I think they shouldn't have lifelong terms. They should get to like, hey, you get 4 years. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Like, not for president, but like all these other things that they're trying to stay in. They're like, you got to do what the people want, and these people are supporting you, and you're this party, so you have to do this. I would be the worst at that, because I would just be like, oh, so I'm in, let's say I'm on the Democratic side, and this Republican guy says something good. I'm like, I like that. And then you get just shunned by your party. I was like, I don't want to pick a party, because I can't be that committed to one side or the other when they're both kind of clowning at different times. And I just, that's the thing I find funny, is just people getting up in arms because the opposite party's in charge. And I personally think every 4 years I'm going to vote opposite parties. And it's just because I think it's good for stability. It's like a stock market. You have waves. If you have one direction for too long, you're going to get imbalanced. So you got to go the other way a little bit. This is my own political view. It's nothing to do with, it's an ocean, it's waves. So I feel like every 4 years it needs to swing a different direction in order to keep balance in the whole system. And I would love to see it be like they had in Iceland when we were talking with Nick about it, like 13 parties. So you have more options to choose from, not just two. It doesn't have to just be one or two. So I would love to see more options, but that's just me, and my politics are not in any way guided by research, besides just seeing how people act towards opposite parties. So I'm not really someone to speak on politics, but I like, I hate facts. I really hate facts. Like the one time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the dumbest thing. You'd heard that all the day. I was like, no, I like facts. I just don't like to look things up and really check. But yeah, corruption's around. The world still has a lot of good stuff. I try to focus on the good if at all times possible. So that's all. That's my my rant, I guess. If you call it a rant, it's more of a thought on life.
Yeah. Can we end on something silly?
Let's do it.
So I had this experience for the first time ever in my life. And it's probably too much information. Or it's not, but it, like, I know. I just don't like that. There's so many people in my life that listen to this podcast, and that's okay. Please continue listening to this.
Yeah. Because we need good. Well, this is the stuff numbers. They want. This is what they want. Yeah,
the
actually.
Drama.
They want the good stuff, the goss.
The hot goss. So I'm seeing someone, and for the first time ever in my life, I like clacked teeth.
Clacked?
Yeah, like we shared a kiss and our teeth mm-hmm. clacked, and I was like, I've never experienced that before.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you're just it was too open mouth at first. Or they have horse teeth and they stick way out. It's one of the two. It's like,
it turns out it was a horse. Hits your yeah. teeth. I've no been kissing what. A horse. Yeah.
Oh, you were kissing a horse. Great. Great, great. Great.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Australian for great.
I was like, I'm that's embarrassed funny. Now. Yeah.
Don't be. Here's the thing.
Not in this moment, in that moment with that person.
Okay, good. Well, I was embarrassed. Look, if you relive that moment, would you feel sure. embarrassed at all?
Every time, that's the thing. Yeah.
reliving any of those kinds of moments can be embarrassing. But here's the thing. No one else knows about it until now.
Until they listen to this. Yeah.
So until they listen to this. But I'm sure it's happened to all of them. And if I think of all the weird, awkward things that occur when trying to kiss someone or making out or whatever else, you just have to laugh about it, because there's things that are going to you're going to feel awkward about later. And at the time they were like, well, that was different or whatever else. But it is what it is.
Yeah. But I was
you have no judgment from me.
Thank you. But it was just one of those things where, like, obviously I wasn't vocal about this, but it was just one of those things where I was like, oh yeah, it's nice that this has never happened. You know, not that I actively thought about it, but I was just like, oh, I can't relate.
But now
to
you can. Now you can't now say can. This has never happened.
Yeah.
And afterwards, you're like, great, I got to go see my dentist now. You chip some enamel off my tooth.
Yeah. Oh, my teeth are
horse,
cracked now.
Mr. Horseface. Yeah. Mr. Ed. Just
Big
terrible.
Ed.
Mr. Ed was an old show where a horse talked. Just for clarification, on the 1950s or 40s or whatever it was.
I think it was the 60s.
But yeah, well, good. I mean, if it happens more than once, you'll then have to report it.
Yeah, report it.
It's just report it to us.
To the police.
Report it to us.
Yeah.
To the podcast. But otherwise, there's some styling and some choices that need to change in order to make it happen correctly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can you not stick your mouth wide open? Yeah.
Yep.
You'll see. It's just so funny to me. But the thing is, I'm not trying to make you feel it's not nothing you did wrong. It's probably him, honestly. So you're fine. But it's totally good.
I just, first of all, you're all welcome for me sharing that. But
oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Just like things like this always make me laugh. Of like, I like when my friends roast me. I want to be specific. I don't like when everyone roasts me, because if we're not close enough friends, I get mad, and then I will come after you. Yeah.
Yeah.
With my words, not my.
Not
body
physically.
Or my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where was I going with this? Oh, roasting. So like stuff like this makes me laugh because I'm embarrassed. But I know it's like, I don't know how best to describe it. It just really like brings me a lot of joy.
Good. Yeah. No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're really living. You're out there and you're really living right now. And that's why real things are happening to you that are comical, because that's what real life is about.
Yeah.
If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at?
Everyone.
And the answer to that is other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone else.
Yeah. But no, I love it. And I'm glad that you'll let me roast you a little. I wasn't trying to roast you. I was just kind of, you know, going along with it. But it's still awesome. My worst one Okay. So, oh, I guess I have a final story for this too. My worst one was after the first kiss with my ex-wife when we were just dating. Mm-hmm. I ended it with a handshake that day.
Love it.
So we first had like, we first just quick kiss. And then I was like, all right, well, see you later. And I did a handshake. And then it was like, and then she's like, I feel like we took two steps backwards just now. And I was like, sorry. And then that was it. And it was so funny.
Then you married her.
And so yeah. I married her about a month later. Just kidding. Got engaged a couple months later.
Next week, yeah.
Actually, I waited about a year. But what was so funny about that is someone else on a dating app had said that they had had a handshake at the end of a date and it was so awkward. And I was like, she's like, don't judge me if or whatever. And I was like, oh, I've had the same thing happen. And I did not clarify with her that if she was the person or if he was the person, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But it was just funny to be like, oh, yep, had the same thing happen. She's like, you just got to laugh at yourself sometimes to be able to laugh at life. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. You should be able to just roll with it. So if a date starts off with or ends with a handshake, don't beat yourself up about it. Could be the last time you see that person, or you might marry him. Just saying.
Yeah. That's how I, someone asked me to be in a relationship with them and I was like, okay, yeah. And then that's how I said yes. I thought it was funny. I like stuck my hand out and we did a handshake.
Let's agree to this now.
Yeah. It's binding. Yes.
Yeah, this is binding. Handshakes are, back in the old days, a handshake was better than a signature.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could write up a dating contract. I agree to then have them sign it.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, let me get the contract out of my car. I have it with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I shall only see. Yeah.
But I do think our experiences were different. Like, I was doing it because I thought it was funny. You did it because your body froze and went into shock.
And I was like, what do I do? Oh, well, see you later. And then she was getting in her car. I was like, so stupid. But, you know, those are those things that looking back on it, I can laugh now. But it was took a while and I was embarrassed by it. And then someone else was this is how it triggers me now is like some random people. Well, my friend Jordana was like, oh, yeah, so and so said to give you a hearty handshake for something. And I was like, oh, really? Did you tell them that story? And instantly I'm like, go on the defensive. And they're like, no, they were just saying like, happy birthday, give them a handshake. And I just like instantly get defensive because I'm like, oh, really? So now
you're
everyone knows
talking
that
about
I handshaked
this?
After. Yeah, great. So I need to like just, I just laugh about it now. But this was this year that I was like, oh, really? Yeah. Did you tell them the story?
Really?
So it's gonna live with me for forever. And that's fine. I've done it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So yeah, ended it on a happy note after politics. It's fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us for episode 114, where we keep you laughing and thinking about serious stuff once in a while.
Okay.
That was a to them, not you, Dolly.
Oh, great.
I thought you were doing a little sign off.
Oh.